Welcome in, and thanks for joining us for another edition of SU Ag Podcast. I'm Dexter Newman. Autumn is making its arrival, and with it comes the start of school and the start of football season. From the music of the marching bands, the cheers from the cheerleaders, and the shouting from the fans in the stands. Just as sure as fall and winter is coming, the flu season is on its way. It is also recommended to stay current with COVID-19 vaccines and boosters. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expects updated vaccines from Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax to be available by mid-September. We have with us today Dr. Corey Hebert. He's a physician with the LSU School of Medicine and also chief medical officer for Dillard University in New Orleans. Welcome, Dr. Hebert.
Good to see you, my friend.
May of 2023, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, they declared the COVID-19 public health emergency to be officially over. Dr. Hebert, is the pandemic over?
No, it's not. And, you know, it's hard to keep a straight face when I read that, because I know, as well as most people that work in medicine, know that the pandemic is far from over. And I always like to bring these things to just to make it a little bit more narrow to my audience. So Southern University is a historically Black college. I am from Baton Rouge, and so I get it. I sometimes feel like I bleed a little blue and gold, but I went to Morehouse, so it's kind of like blue and maroon and white and gold, you know. But anyway, I got to protect folks because at Southern, because, you know, when we say when white folks, you know, get a cold, Black folks basically have the flu. So it's kind of like that same thing with COVID. You know, white folks had COVID and Black folks got it worse and died at higher numbers. And in Louisiana, it was really bad, so much so the governor had to have a task force on COVID-19, of which I was appointed to be on that task force, because we had to do special things to make sure that people understood what was really going on. So that's kind of where I feel like we are right now. Meaning, COVID-19 is far from over. That's the first thing. Second thing, we don't know what long COVID brings. All right. So as you mentioned, there's variants, there's all types of things going on, but COVID-19 numbers in the last 2 weeks, all right, have gone through the roof. All right. I mean, up 70%. So what we have to remember is that if we don't know what long COVID is going to do, whether COVID makes you have a runny nose, cough, congestion, whether it puts you in the hospital, whether it kills you, which is going to be rare, you still have to contend with what long COVID could bring. What does that mean? That means that we know COVID-19, you know, SARS-CoV-2, that is a virus that is it can cause some neurologic problems. It can cause some vascular problems. It can cause skin problems. It can cause so many things that you don't want it. You just don't want it, because you could be one of the people that is absolutely fine after you get it, maybe even didn't know you have it. But you could also be one of the people that is either dead or severely debilitated. I have several friends that are doctors and lawyers, teachers, that have been debilitated by COVID so much that they can't even go back to work because of long COVID. We're going to start a whole new discipline of medicine dealing with the effects of long COVID. So you're a young person, you know, out there at Southern University. You're young. You don't need to be starting your life off with these types of problems. So the best thing for you to do is to prevent COVID the best way possible. The ways that we're going to do it, we're going to make you wash your nasty hands. That's the first thing we're going to do, because right now I travel almost every other day and I'm in the airport in the bathroom and I see people just walking out, not washing their hands anymore, rubbing their noses, sneezing in their hands, shaking people's hands. Everybody's shaking hands and kissing now and hugging and everything. That's just not optimal. It's not optimal, especially with these numbers that are high again. Right. So that's the first thing. You mentioned boosters. Right. We have a booster that came out several months ago. It's a bivalent booster. What does that mean? Valence is how many of the actual variants are in that particular vaccine. So the first vaccine was monovalent. They had one variant. The second vaccine, the booster, is bivalent, which means they have multiple, two of the strains in there. And the one that's coming out in a couple of weeks, that one is also going to be multivalent, meaning it's going to have more than one and have the coverage to make sure that you're more covered with this situation. The second thing I'll tell you, I mean, the third thing I want you to do, I want you to get those boosters. The reason why we're having this increase recently is because nobody got the booster. The second, I mean, the third thing, as I said, you need to wear your mask. And everybody's like, oh, Lord, I don't want to wear a mask anymore. I don't want. Man, look, you got to do what you got to do. You got to take responsibility for yourself. You're an adult now. You're in college and faculty and staff. Y'all are adults. You don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. But we know that if you wear an N95 mask, that you will be protected more than if you don't. And so all these decisions grown people have to make. But my mantra through COVID was wash up, mask up, separate, and vaccinate. That's the one that went throughout the country. That's the one I'm still sticking to. And knock on wood, I haven't had COVID yet. So I'll leave it there, and then you can ask me whatever you want to ask me, my brother.
Okay, good deal, Doc. And look, with vaccines, those that haven't even had one vaccine, Vaccine 101 or Medicine 101, how do vaccines work in short?
Okay. I kind of want to say it short, but I'm going to say it long because black folks need to hear this, right? The first thing is, Tuskegee was a horrible thing. Tuskegee was a horrible thing, right? Meaning not the university, the experiment, right? And it was bad. It's over. And we had to move forward. And that's why we have, ways to make sure that people are protected in clinical trials now. So if you've never done a clinical trial, you'll know you have to do what's called an informed consent. I run clinical trials. I've had for the last 25 years. So we do that. And we need to make sure that young people get in clinical trials because if the medicines, if black people aren't in clinical trials, then that means the medicines that come out of the clinical trial weren't tried on black people, which means they may not work for black people. And that's, we have several medicines that are like that we know now. But how did the vaccine, where did it even come from? All right. I don't want you to think that with a COVID vaccine that it was too fast because do you know what your index would be to say something is too fast? People say, oh, it was developed too fast. Well, how long do you think it should have been? How long we should have researched it? Do you know how long it should have been researched? You know how many people should have been in the study? No, because you're not a scientist. So you don't know that, those answers. So when people start asking these questions, oh, I think it was too fast, you don't even know what too fast is. Okay. Second thing is they have vaccines that you have already taken, especially like the meningitis vaccine that you took to be a student at Dill at Southern, meningitis B. It was developed just as fast, but nobody said anything. Why? Because everybody was going about their business, loving life. Nobody stopped everything. They didn't have like a bunch of old guys sitting back in their chairs. Oh, let me figure out what this FDA, I ain't got nothing to do today. I ain't going to work. Let me figure out what this FDA is doing. Let me look at some Facebook videos so I can figure out what the FDA is doing. Oh, it was too fast. Really? That's not how it works. Okay. We've been doing this for a very long time, and the vaccines work very well. Okay. So please, so when people talk about this, when you're in line, right? Because if people were saying, oh, this vaccine is bad for black folks, it's trying to hurt black folks. When you're in line getting the vaccine, right? Do you think that there are a bunch of white people in line and then a bunch of black people in line, and then when they see you coming, they take out a different one? You think that happens? No. So if they're killing black people, they're killing white people too. All right, that's another thing. And white people were breaking in to pharmacies in the horrible, downtrodden areas in the across the country stealing vaccine. So I can't buy that one. And one more thing about vaccines, folks. Where's the name even come from? And this is going to make sense to you a little bit better. A long time ago, okay, there was something called smallpox epidemic. And there was a guy named Cotton Mather. He lived in Boston, and his family was dying. Everybody was dying from smallpox. And he had an enslaved man named Onesimus. Onesimus saw this happening, and he said, look, my slave master, I know that what we used to do in Africa is when people had smallpox, we would take a stick and rub it on the lesion that was festering, and then on somebody that had it, and then we would rub it on someone that didn't have it and break the skin, and then that person wouldn't get it. And Cotton Mather said, well, my African slave, I understand what you're saying, but you're no scientist, so we're not going to listen to what you have to say. However, okay, no worries. But then people started dying more. Everybody started dying. Cotton Mather said, hey, I probably need to listen to this dude because I have nothing to lose. So he did that, and he didn't die, and his family didn't die, right? His immediate family. So he went to other people and said, look, this is really true. This is happening. You need to, this guy's had the right idea. And they were like, you mean your enslaved man told you what to do? Whatever. So people started dying. Anyway, make a long story short, people started doing this. It kind of took off. And a few, well, not just a few, about 100 years later, a doctor decided he was going to try this. Okay. He was going to do it because this is a real situation. But he didn't want to try use smallpox because smallpox would have killed people in his experiments. So he used something called cowpox. He injected people with cowpox, and the people that got exposed did not get the actual cowpox infection. And then what is cow in Latin? Vacca. So vaccination, that's where the word comes from. So you go all the way back to your African roots, and the father of American vaccination is an enslaved man named Onesimus. So whenever you start thinking that black that vaccines were made to hurt black people and blah, 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 a black man, just like almost so many other things, vaccines of America were actually brought here because of a black man named Onesimus. If you don't believe it, go to the History Channel and type it in, and you'll see the whole documentary done about it. So that's why you need to get them. You take a little piece of what your of what the illness is, deactivate it, or keep it live, put it in you, and then it makes your immune system start to work to make antibodies to it, not to give you the disease, but to make antibodies to it. So when you're actually faced with the disease, you will have already had your antibodies made so you can kill the disease. And that's why when you get a vaccine, you don't feel good a little bit sometimes, because we gave you a little tiny piece of it, whether it was inactivated or alive, and then your body made antibodies to it. So it's like, you see this muscle? That's big, right? You see that big muscle? It's really not. But when I want to make it big, I got to go to the gym. And that's no, and I gotta, it's sore. I'll be sore, but I gotta make it bigger and bigger, and I'll be sore. No pain, no gain, right? That's what your immune system goes through. You give it a little bit of something, and then it starts to work hard. You get a little sore, work hard, but then you get exposed to something, and you're strong enough to fight.
Thanks for that history lesson too, Doc. I know that, and I'm pretty sure quite a few people that are listening in didn't know it and are glad that you spoke that to us. And we can spread the word.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Corey Hebert, medical health officer at Dillard University in New Orleans, about COVID-19 and what we can do to protect ourselves from this virus as it continues to make new variants.
Doc, can the COVID vaccine alter a person's DNA? Is this true or false?
False. And honestly, I almost can't go into depth on that because, you know what alters a person's DNA? Not sleeping at night. You know what alters a person's DNA? Eating all that, you know, pickle tips in your red beans and eating horrible things and drinking a lot of alcohol and smoking cigarettes and smoking vapes and all these types of things can destroy and cause problems with DNA. Because when you have a problem with your DNA being modified in some way, that's what causes cancer. You know, when you talk about gene modification, that's what causes cancer. And that's how we can kind of fix some of the cancers that we have. It's because of gene modification. So no, the answer is no. And people say that because it's an mRNA vaccine. And once again, oh, this is new. This is new. It's mRNA vaccine. mRNA technology has been around since the 80s. And the reason why we pulled it off the shelf so that we can use this is because we can make it fast. We can make it very fast. And we needed to have a vaccine very quickly for COVID-19, as well as some other things that we're using mRNA vaccines for and mRNA technology for now. This is nothing new. So no, it cannot.
Okay. Thank you for that, Doc. We have another true and false for you. Do COVID vaccines cause other variants?
No, they do not. But I will tell you this now. Living, breathing viruses are trying to kill you all day, every day. This is the way the world works, right? It's always been this way. So a COVID vaccine or any vaccine is trying to prevent people from getting this disease, because what happens is when the COVID virus or any virus is in the population and living a lot, then it can replicate and it can mutate. So what we're trying to do is to decrease the amount of the COVID in the community so that those little COVID viruses don't have ability to infect so many people so they can't really mutate as quickly, all right? So when you take a COVID vaccine, it actually does a bit of the opposite of making these making things mutate. It actually kind of decreases the amount of infection in the population, which means that it makes the virus less active, which means that it won't mutate as fast.
It shuts that one down. Recently, Doc, there's been a spike, right now it is, an increase in COVID-19 infections. Dr. Hebert, do you think we'll ever get back to wearing masks with a mask mandate ever?
Well, at Dillon University, where I'm the chief medical officer, we actually just instituted a mask mandate that started two or three days ago. All right. Our numbers got high. We have a very small enclosed campus. And if we have an outbreak on this campus, we'd have to shut it down. So we went to a mask mandate, and other colleges in the Atlanta University Center, Morehouse College, Morris Brown, they also have gone to a mask mandate. And it's possible that the university may go back to a mask mandate for temporarily. We are doing it for about 2 weeks to get our numbers down, and hopefully that will work. Trying to keep people a little bit separate, which is hard to do, especially on the college campus, especially during the beginning of school year when people are trying to hang out, they're trying to know each other, they're having all these orientations and football games, things like that. But we have to protect our population, whether it be faculty, staff, or student. So is there a possibility that we go back to mask mandate? They're already going back to mask mandates. Hopefully not for very long, but it's possible and probable.
Okay. Well, the flu season is around the corner. Should one get a flu shot and a COVID shot in the same season? Is that safe to do?
Yes, you can get them at the same time. As a matter of fact, before Halloween, I tell you all the time, before if Halloween is passed and you don't have your flu shot, you are already late, right? So you need to get a flu shot. Flu is going to kill 20 to 70,000 people every year, no matter where, what year, what's going on. And so COVID also is a problem. The one thing you don't want is to have them both at the same time. I don't mean the shot. I mean, you don't want to have infection of both, but you can get the shot at the same time. And I recommend that you do so that you don't have to worry about it.
And Doc, so you're saying you can get flu and COVID at the same time?
Yeah, you can get it. You can have everything. You can have flu, COVID, measles, mumps. Mother Nature's a mad scientist, bro. And during COVID, I had a patient that had strep, COVID, flu, and RSV, and was pregnant too. So that's all. I ain't even going there.
Oh my!
Yeah, you can get all that. You can get everything. So that's why you gotta keep them hands washed, man. Hands washed.
Okay. Well, Doc, look, there's a wealth of information that you've given to us today, and hope the listeners and viewers take heed to what you've said and move forward from there. And as always, we thank you for being a part of SUA Podcast.
Let me say one more thing. Mm-hmm. I grew up, man, at Lacumba's Den, man. I grew up watching that. I grew up at Collegiate Bookstore, man. Eating that Burger Chef. Y'all remember about Burger Chef. I'm just telling you. So I feel close to something, man. So if I can do anything to help you, anybody else at the accident or any other similar subject, please feel free.
Okay, Doc. And we thank you for that. And we welcome you into the Southern family. I mean, you're part of us. You know, we when we call you, accept the answer and come on and do your thing. And we've been watching you, and we like the way that your career has grown. And so we support you as well, Doc. And thank you for everything. That's going to do it for this portion of the SU Ag Podcast. And we thank the viewers and listeners for chiming in, coming in and listening. Thank you so much, Doc.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the SU Ag Podcast. Thanks for joining us.